Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Sunday, May the 16th, 2021. And I have the honor to have Professor Jane Spetzer on with me, and Professor Joe. And there's going to be quite a few subjects here, but Jim, I'm going to just hand it over to you and tell you to lead with this.
Well, Stu, without any doubt, the leading story is the Israelis are leading an all-out assault against Gaza, which is widely regarded as the world's largest concentration camp. They're virtually defenseless. They have quite deliberately obliterated media buildings in Gaza to cover up the war crimes that will follow, including the Associated Press. Bibi Netanyahu, I believe, is inspired to do this because he's in deep political trouble at home and because the United States, now that Trump is no longer in office, isn't going to stand up against Israel. Indeed, I believe this is one of the primary reasons the Israelis wanted Biden in and Trump out. Biden is weak and malleable and won't put up any resistance, no matter how atrocious are the actions taken by the Israelis. Trump would never have let them get away with it. Indeed, I'm convinced it was because he was not willing to bomb Iran that they went all in using all of their media assets, which, as we know, are massive and overwhelming, to conceal information detrimental to Biden and to go all out in an attack against Trump. And, of course, the corona pandemic, alleged, was instrumental here in depriving Trump of the opportunity to have his mass rallies and to undermine the economy, and gave an excuse for Biden hiding in his basement. We're learning more about all this, by the way, out of Maricopa, where it turns out that the Democrats are doing everything they can to defeat what they are discovering through an audit taking place there. But it appears this is inferential in part. But instead of Biden squeaking out a 10,000 vote victory in Arizona, Trump actually won by around 1 million votes. Just to illustrate what I mean by the war crimes taking place in Gaza, Israel performed a stunt here, threatening to use Apache attack helicopters, which of course function above ground, to lead Hamas to go underground where they have a vast network of tunnels. And then they've launched some 140 attacks on the tunnels and managed to bury Hamas alive underground. This is very vicious. This is very nasty, very, very unhappy situation here. In my opinion, what's going on is in violation of international law, the Geneva Conventions, and the UN Charter. Joel.
Yeah, we should add for the public about what the Palestinian issue is, because the Jews that they had a 1,000-year-old claim to come in and take over what was then called Palestine. However, among the Palestinians, it's been found out that many of them are descendants of the old Hebrews. So that kind of put their issue that they have a right of return to also to the Palestinian, because many of them were of the old ancient Hebrew religion. And we can say that what's left of the old Palestine is now is in Gaza, and it's the largest open-air prison camp, literally. And when they bomb something, the civilians have no bomb shelters to go to. They die. And this is a thing that the mass media will not talk about.
Oh, you're so right, Joel. I have many serious disagreements with Noam Chomsky, who has sought to, you know, excuse away the very idea of conspiracy and the assassination of JFK, arguing absurdly that there were no issues of public policy at stake, as though pulling out of Vietnam, as though dismantling the CIA, as though cutting the oil depletion allowance, as though cracking cracking down on the mafia were not all issues of major public concern, not to mention that JFK was at loggerheads with David Ben-Gurion, who wanted the first founder of Israel and its first prime minister, who wanted to develop atomic weapons, but JFK was opposed to a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. So Chomsky has made absurd remarks here. He's also been very apologetic about the official narrative of 9/11, but when it comes to Israel and Palestine, he's had many very telling observations, including the following. You take my water, burn my olive trees, destroy my house, take my job, steal my land, imprison my father, kill my mother, bombard my country, starve us all, humiliate us all, but I am to blame. I shot a rocket back. Noam Chomsky. He's got that one right, and of course the rockets they have are mostly bottle rockets that do no harm, but I would not be surprised if the Israelis in range for the rocket attacks excuse themselves from massive involvement in Gaza, which is going to cost very many lives, and I believe has already, by the destruction of the tunnel system there, while the Hamas was underground, got tremendous irreversible damage to the military strength of Hamas.
You might add to that, Jim, that again, the Palestinian has as much right to that land as the Jews do. Because, like, it's been proven that many of them have Jewish blood in them, or old Hebrew blood in them. So many of them have as much right to that land as the Jew.
Now, the true Hebrew bloodline are the Palestinians, 92% of them, according to that university professor, where was that, Harvard or someplace, Joe? And he was also out of Jerusalem. There you go.
Aaron Ellick.
Yeah, and he came up with 92% of DNA proved that the Palestinians were the original Hebrew bloodline, where 92% of them that live in Israel today are not. They're actually European, and a lot of them come from the Ukraine, the Khazarians, they call themselves. Now, I might add to that, what's the Bible talk about if you get into that side of it? And you look at the so-called chosen people, all the other. Okay, there's 12 tribes that came out of Israel. Here's the point. One of the tribes is the Palestinians. World War II, Palestine was in existence in what is now called the State of Israel. And they went in, the Israelis, these ones that declared to be Israelis, came in. Most of them were involved in the concentration camps of exterminating the true Hebrews, the Palestinians, many of them, and the true Hebrews on the Jewish side. And one of them was Raphael Aton and his gang, and Michael Hariri, whose father was involved in exterminating the Jews with Adolf Hitler. Now, they're the ones that took over Palestine in 1947, declared it to be the State of Israel, and killed 40,000 Palestinians who were the Hebrew race and buried them in Israel. Now, they drove them out of there into what's called Palestine. Now, Israel made an agreement under the Camp David Accords with Jimmy Carter and Sadat. Sadat got killed over it, basically, Egyptian Sadat, president. And they made an accord. Israel has never kept their agreements ever with anybody. They are a bunch of frigid lion country, and they're evil, in my opinion. Jim or Joe?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. It's not the people of Israel. It's their government. They've had a succession of extreme Talmudist Jews who believe in Jewish superiority. You want to talk about racism? Talmud is just reeks with racism, where the Jews are superior to every other race. The other races only exist to serve the Jews. Some of the remarks they've made have been completely disgusting. Menachem Begin, for example, said that Jews are a superior other human races, and the human races generally are superior to the animals in the field. And Bibi Netanyahu, no less, whose political plight, I think, was very influential here, since he's in the dire straits domestically, in provoking this, and the people would come to support him politically, observe,
you know,
in 2020. America is the golden calf. We intend to suck it dry and leave it as nothing but an enormous welfare state, because that's what we do with nations we hate. This is Bibi Netanyahu.
You know, this Bibi, I tell you, and the crime syndicate in America, you take a Larry Mizell out of Denver, one of the 12 disciples of Satan. He is in charge of the Jewish crime syndicate in America, and he's an Israeli APEC director, American-Israeli PAC. You take and go to my website, stuweb.com, you see pictures of Bibi Netanyahu, Larry Mizell, and their rabbi out of Denver, Colorado, all good buddies. Mizell was buying up all the oil leases along the coast of Palestine, all the oil leases. Cynthia McKinney was on this flotilla, former Congressman George, my friend. She was on that flotilla taking in food and medical supplies to the Palestinians when the Israelis shot and killed several aboard and arrested her and others and detained them for 7 to 10 days. That's the kind of people that the Palestinians are dealing with, nothing but psychopath killers. Go ahead,
Jim. Well, you're 100% correct, and more, I think the world is recognizing. Here's a piece from the Daily Poster: Israel's atrocities in Gaza. A prominent senator argues that Israel's atrocities in Gaza embody the extremism of the Netanyahu government, and what the United States must use is leverage to stop the violence. But you see, with Biden there, it's not going to stop. Biden has already stated Israel has the right to self-defense. And, of course, America has repeatedly vetoed United Nations resolutions condemning Israeli violence against the Palestinians, condemning the apartheid state that Israel has become, and their vicious, even savage treatment of non-Jews. It's an outrage. But while the world has sought to condemn them in the public forum of the United Nations, the U.S. again and again and again has vetoed defending Israel to allow the bully to continue to abuse the Palestinians and others in the Middle East. It's outrageous. But we cannot expect anything better from Joe Biden, who is pathetic, who was not legitimately elected, and who doesn't even appear to be cognitively competent. Joe.
Here we have a situation again of where the emphasis should be on the Palestinian and the Gaza as being the largest open-air prison camp. The very thing that the Jews, you know, talked about in the Holocaust. In other words, there's a Holocaust that's being committed against the Palestinians. And unfortunately, the news media has its bent towards the support of Israel. And so you're going to get a kind of a washed down description of what's happening to the Palestinian. And unfortunately, people can't understand what it means when you have a 200-pound bomb dropped on your building. And it's very common for them to go into and say, this land is mine, knock down the house, we're taking the land.
Now,
and so,
go ahead, John.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you a question. The star of David had no star, according to what I've studied. But yet the star of David, whatever that star is, it flies on the flag of Israel. Is that similar to the same points that they use in the satanic worships? Hexagram?
Okay, let me put a little clarification on that. There is a truth to what you're saying, but that is called a five-pointed star. There are what we call signatures that are used in the occult world. Like, for instance, the Nazi swastika is found all the way up into the Tibetan culture. Well, what does that mean? What it originally meant was, is that it was a design, a sigil of a design of the spinning sun. And so, likewise, you can attach many meanings to the six-pointed star. Where that came from, it can be found on David or Solomon's shield. Now, what does it mean? It can mean many things, not just one thing. The original Baphomet had its different definitions. It depends upon who's using it and why are they using it. They're called occult sigils, and they can mean anything. It's what you want to attach to it. The idea of a triangle within the occult world is to mean there is the one, then there is the two, then the three in the story of creation. Now you take that and add it to a, say, a five-pointed star, then you get into what they call the elements, and wind, fire, earth, water. And those were, in the ancient of days, ways that indigenous cultures would describe what was around them. But because of that, the Western man began interpreting this in occult circles to suit their needs. So, yeah, you could say it can mean a occult symbol. Like, I'll give you one definition of the six-pointed star, which are interacting triangles. As the above, so the below, so the below, as the above. Now, just stating those definitions, you can add more definitions to it. So there's heaven, there's earth. There's earth, there's heaven. So, yes, too, it can be used to in a satanic way, but it's just to be cautious. All I'm saying is be cautious in how you define certain occult symbols, because it has to be put in reference to that indigenous culture.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
And of course, we knew in terms of the flag of Israel that the two blue lines at the top and bottom represent the Tigris Euphrates on the one hand and the Nile. In other words, the historically disputed claim that Israel is entitled to all the land between those two great rivers represented by the flag itself.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is correct. It is called Tachanas, meaning greater Israel, which extends itself all the way to the Euphrates. Israel did at that time, under King Solomon, have that territory. So what the modern Jew is doing is taking something that fell away after the split between northern Israel and southern Israel, and the Jew taken off into captivity. That was the end of Ha-Heres. So through their own interpretation of scripture, they have put their stamp, their understanding of what that meant, that we have a right to reclaim the old land. However, because of finding that many of these Palestinians have Hebrew blood in them, that makes them have a right to that land also.
That's true. That's true. Well, I think we've pretty much covered Israel. They're going to blow the whole place up before it's over with and slaughter one hell of a lot of people. And I think that's what's going to happen. Now, you mentioned earlier, Jim, about the politicians down in Arizona. I think Joel, he lives down there, and he's right in the middle of it, sort of, with some of your friends. Why don't you tell us the scene, Joel?
Well, certain individuals pushed very hard and worked very hard to get access to the results of the vote. And right now, they have found that there are 17% discrepancy on so far of what they found. And they will find more. However, the powers that be, I won't mention names, the powers that be are doing everything they can to impede this investigation. Now, right now, not only that, there is recalls of different state senators, and Governor Ducey, whose real name is Roscoe. That is his true last name. And it turns out that, for instance, Roscoe has vested interests in Health Institute that have to do with COVID virus. Isn't there a conflict of interest here?
I would say there would be, yes.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
go ahead.
Right now, things are in an uproar, and just 2 days ago, they had a big protest down at the Capitol on the recall. So we'll see what happens as things progress, but it's always, and this is for you, Jim, if you ever want to know the story of Arizona politics, go get the book Project Arizona, and it's on the murder of Don Bowles.
He found the land track.
Newspapers came to town and investigated that killing, that murder. They did find the perps and et cetera, et cetera. But they wanted to find out what was the bottom line on Arizona. Why was Arizona corrupt as it was? And it starts with certain individuals, beginning with the Brofman family and Joe Bananas, and a certain other Arizona family.
Meyer Lansky.
They began to, in 1947, to set up the rat lines down to the state of Sinaloa. Now, if any of you care to really see, want to know what's happening in Mexico, for the last 5 years, they've had 40,000 people murdered by the cartels. And it concerns dope. But where is the dope? In the state of Sinaloa. And the state of Sinaloa grows marijuana by the acres, by the acres. But the icing on the cake is not the marijuana. The icing on the cake is Mexican ground called heroin. And when Joe Bananas came to Arizona meeting up with certain individuals, create rat lines down to the state of Sinaloa. And if you draw a straight line from Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, down to Nogales, straight down to the state of Sinaloa, you will see that what I'm saying to you makes sense. And so, in actuality, there are the basic economy in the state of Arizona is two things. The narcotics trade and land fraud. Huge land fraud. And you could go on for hours about Larry Mizell in Arizona.
Let me just tell you, let me say something about Don Bowles, because I know the story. Because Brian Quigg and several other people you're aware of that have been murdered over the years, Joe. What it was, Bowles got into it. He was, I think it was Arizona Republic newspaper. But he got into the land fraud and found out that they had stolen all these houses from HUD, and it was tied to Leonard Millman and Norman Brownstein and the whole crowd. And they stole them, and they deeded them over to themselves. They just stole the deeds on them. That 79,000 houses disappeared off of HUD records suddenly overnight, and it was during that period of time when Don Bowles got murdered. And it wasn't Bowles made them disappear from HUD records. They just disappeared. And suddenly, they're coming up in all these corporate names tied to these Jews down there in Arizona. That was the story. They murdered
him. And we can also add to what you're saying there, Stu, the story of Harari and
Michael Harari.
Yeah, Michael Harari has tried to assassinate.
He got Rossmacher. They got Rossmacher down there too, an Arizona guy. Shot him in the back of the ear, and the doctors didn't charge him because the bullet came out of his eyeball instead of circling around his brain. But he was a good guy. I met him in person. But I mean, the politics down there and the amount of deaths and the people involved. And I'll tell you, you know, you got the largest Jim Fetzer. You may not know this. This is Jeb Bush's drug partner. His name is Frank Notaris. Frank Notaris. He operates out of Arizona at the Indian Reservation down there that they built a casino on a few years back to cover their ass to make it look like, why are all these trucks going out there? They were out there picking up the drugs. But Frank Notaris is Jeb Bush's drug partner. Hope the DEA picked up on that.
For the public, that get the book, The Arizona Project, and it will explain the politics of Arizona. And the conclusion of that is that it's the bottom line on many states of why there is so much corruption.
And it's controlled by a few. I mean, you take Arizona, Biltmore Circle, where Daddy Bush had a house, Leonard Millman had one, Charles Keating's brother had one, a couple of your senators, one of your senators had one down there, Brownstein had one, right on the old Biltmore Circle, they call it. Then they built a road down to the Felician where Charles Keating stole $300 million to build the Felician Hotel. Nice place. I was in it. It's got pools that drop off one side there on the south. I mean, multiple pools. You can go in there and have sex with your girlfriend. Nobody's going to bother you. There's enough palm trees around it. I walked down the sidewalk of that pool. I mean, $300 million they stole out involving Lincoln Savings and others. And they stuck in their pocket. That's the kind of politics that are in Arizona. Jim, you still with us?
I sure am, Stu. I wanted to toss in two more stories before we conclude our conversation today.
Okay.
Just to show you how far the United States has gone in terms of a fascist or communist state. Vimeo has canceled Mike Lindell's MyPillow account, which he described as worse than what Twitter did to me and my company. I mean, here's a great patriotic American. He's an entrepreneur. He went from that one-time crack addict to being one of the most successful millionaires in the country. But where big box stores like Costco, Sam's Club, Bed Bath & Beyond, Kohl's, Wayfair, and Kroger have all stopped carrying MyPillow products. Why? Because he has spoken out over the theft of the election. It's outrageous. This is a far cry from what the founding fathers anticipated, where Americans have due respect for one another and treat each other in a fashion appropriate the way they'd like to have themselves treated. But since the introduction of the idea of hate crimes, which has no foundation in the law, any opinion that the Democrats dislike, particularly truthful opinions because they hate the truth, is described as hate speech and suppressed. And because Mike Lindell has been presenting evidence, I mean stunning evidence, that the election in 2020 was stolen, which the Democrats are loath to admit, they are treating him in a very serious fashion as though he were a criminal rather than a patriot. Joe.
We are seeing more and more. For instance, they're getting ready in the Palm Beach Police Department is getting ready to make an arrest in case Trump is indicted. So we are now beginning to see again, as you stated at the beginning of the show, more and more arrests. Now, this is connected to the very thing that the leftists have talked about, and that is white supremacy is the new terrorist in the United States. But let's put a couple of statistics out there. This is from very recent. From 2015 until 2017, there were 550,000 assaults of black on white. This means kidnapping, rapes, murder. There were 56,000 assaults of white on black. Not only that, there were 420,000 Mexican assaults of on whites and 128,000 assaults of white on black, of Mexican. Now, what is off the chart, and I don't have the statistic for that, but it's greater than either one of the things that I've mentioned, and that is what the black man has done to the black man. It's off the chart. There are people that come out of their house, they have to look both ways to see to make sure that nobody's coming down the road is going to put some bullets in the air. So the idea of white supremacy is a thing, in my opinion, which is to break the back of the white American middle class.
I can confirm your statistics, Joel. In 2013, for example, there were 55 more times murders of blacks by blacks than there were of whites by blacks, which were relatively incidental. Blacks of whites were 10 times more frequent than whites of blacks, and whites of whites was about the same as blacks of whites. But blacks on blacks was 55 times more frequent than whites on blacks, which is the least number when you look at these things racially. They're relatively rare. In 2019, the number of the shootings of whites of blacks, if it becomes so politically significant, was on the order of 18. And we're supposed to be, you know, panic-stricken or hysterical over that in a nation of 330 million. Do we, meanwhile, have racism coming from the Democratic Party, an extreme form of racism, anti-white racism of a variety we've never seen in this nation before? It's gone so far that Black Lives Matter and Antifa activists are even saying they can't wait to see blacks lynching whites. It's gone that far. And the Democratic Party of today, led by Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, is doing nothing to suppress it. It's outrageous and disgusting.
Now, I've got a couple things that I want to bring up. And one of them is, I've got a videotape, Jim, I was going to put up on my site today, where magnets, after people have had this vaccination, they take a magnet, put it on their arm, and it sticks to their arm where they had the vaccination. It's a video, yeah. A video of it. Now, there's a couple other things I found. Listeners sent me a link called Amazing One, www.amazing1.com. Now, you go up there on the site, you'll find all kinds of energy weapons. You'll find all kinds of Tesla toys. This is an amazing site. Now, brand new design, specially focused ultrasonic beams, third generation of pain wave pistols. I'd say that'd be silent and effective against the enemy of the American Revolution. You folks might want to take a look at this site. Now, we got a problem pertaining to Liz Cheney. Cheney's daughter. Liz Lesbo Cheney. She was stealing at the State Department. She was funding. What they do at her job at the State Department is they create corporations over there, so certain families get the money. She was filling their pockets along with her father. And that's like oil equipment that someone's going to buy a foreign country from America, has to go through the State Department. Well, they set up a corporation. They add $1 million to the sale. And that's how it's done. simple. And she was sitting over there doing it, thieving from the American people and the different companies and committing fraud and everything else. But now she's a U.S. Senator from the state that her father lives in, Jackson Hole, Wyoming. He's a criminal. He's a piece of garbage. He's a child molester, Dick Cheney. And for his daughter to be in the United States Senate, it's a disgrace to Americans, in my opinion. And now she's out and has been attacking Donald Trump. And I don't like that. This thing needs to be put down. She needs to be recalled, folks. Wyoming, do a recall on her, get rid of her. Jim, you want to comment on it?
Sure, she's been taken out as the number three in the House. She's been removed. It's less for her criticism of Trump per se. She'd be entitled to that as a member of the House, as a member of the party, but because she's in a leadership position. She's been contradicting Trump's claims about the theft of the election, for which there's overwhelming evidence from multiple sources, including Sidney Powell, including Elwin Wood, including Mike Lindell. Anyone who denies this election was stolen has no comprehension of American politics and how absurd it is to think that a man who hid in his basement could have drawn more votes than any other candidate for president in the history of the United States. Just to offer an illustration vis-a-vis Arizona, just weeks before the election, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris made a joint appointment presentation, a joint appearance in Phoenix, Arizona. And even the press for the Arizona papers had to acknowledge nobody came. No one gave a damn. They weren't going to vote for Biden and Harris anyway. They didn't want to bother the time. They were a no-draw, a no-go. They were a complete failure. So all the evidence by every experienced politician in the country is this was a stolen election. But the Democrats are doing everything they can to not only suppress that information, but punish those like Mike Lindell, who have been doing their best to bring the facts of the matter to the attention of the American people. Joe.
Now, I think the most important point to make upon, and this is their words. White racial supremacism. And that is their mantra called racism. And the white man, and they're the ones that are saying it, not me, they're the ones that are saying the white man is the problem of this world. And I followed very carefully the last 4 years of what certain cabals did to all of Europe, Italy, Greece, Spain, you name it, an absolute torrent of North Africans, Middle Easterners, and even Central Africans by the thousands. They have areas now in Paris where the police cannot go in there because it's owned by the drug cartels that are Muslim. And this is not in just one or two places. This is all over France. And we are now seeing right down here on the border the very same thing. Since last January, we have had 128,000 illegals come in to this country. And I have a friend that does a good job of filming what the border looks like, and you get to see it. They put in real Anthony Aguero, spelled A-G-U-E-R-O. And he doesn't say much, but he gives you a good view of what it is. Most of it is around El Paso. But you get to see, and here's an example of one that he showed. Broad daylight. Now, the Rio Grande River is not a river like the Mississippi. Most of it is like a ditch, empty. There's this one section of where Juarez borders El Paso. A SUV drives up. Two people jump out, two young men. They go up to the guardway rail and motion the persons that are inside the vehicle to come out. Turns out to be women and children and men. They point for them to walk across the embankment, up the other side of the embankment, and sit under the columns under the Santa Fe Bridge. They did that. And Anthony was told that he said the Border Patrolman told him on that day alone, 2,500 Hondurans, Guatemalans, Cubans, and others came through that one point in 24 hours. 2,500. They just walked across. They are not folks crawling on the desert floor in rags and starving. That is a lie. They are coming up here. They are being bussed. And they have camp out spots. They stay. They can get haircuts. They can get medical assistance. Who's doing this? And this stretches all the way from Laredo all the way up to San Ysidro and San Diego. So that's the real story. And they're figuring out between 8,000 to 10,000 are coming through the border. The Border Patrolmen are nothing more than Uber drivers. Why? Because there is a policy that says, a policy, not a law, a policy that says arrest and release. Arrest and release. It used to be arrest and return. So if you were a Guatemalan, they're saying, if you get arrested, they release you. Okay, I'm going up to the border now. Now, where are these Hondurans and these Guatemalans, where are they getting between $4,000 to $7,000 per person to be taken across the border? Where are they getting that money? Here's what some of the El Pasoans having, and I watched the video. They interviewed this poor Mexican man who had his entire house gated with iron bars. And he was sitting out late at night, and down the street came two groups of 10 to 15 each of Hondurans. They spotted him, and they ran at him. He ran and locked himself behind his barred doors and his barred front porch. They began shaking at his gate. Let us in, let us in. Give us money, give us food. We want it now. He said, no, I'm calling the Border Patrol. He called the Border Patrol. Border Patrol said, we can't help you now. We're being overwhelmed. He told the Mexican guy, well, call El Paso PD. He called El Paso PD. They said, we can't help you because we are being overwhelmed. That's what's happening down on the border.
Now,
every day, and it hasn't stopped. It's going on right now.
How many thousands of people a week are coming in across the border, do you think?
I'll say it again. Let's get this right. 10,000, I would say, putting the statistics together, I would say 10,000 a day. Up and down the border, 10,000 a day. They showed on CNN News, by mistake, 500 Hondurans and Guatemalans that were sitting on the Mexican side of the border waiting to be rafted across the Rio Grande. 500. This goes on every day.
A lot of people. Now, I want to bring up one.
That is going to be an absolute. It will be an absolute disaster. Imagine this Mexican man, who is an American, gets threatened by Guatemalans and law enforcement won't help him.
Pretty bad stuff. Here's something else, Jim. I don't know if you've heard of this, and Joe. This is called the Public Health Act, and I have a link, and it's up on the Australian Defence Force's Public Health Act 2016. Instrument of authorization to supply or administer a poison, SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19 vaccine, Australian Defence Force number 2, 2021. I, Dr. Andrew Roberts, Chief Health Officer for Australia, acting pursuant to Sections 197 and 198 of the Public Health Act 2016, Act that gives power for the purpose of emergency management during a public health state of emergency to authorize a person to supply or administer a poison, hereby authorize the persons occupying the class of poison in Column 1 of Attached Schedule 2 perform a statutory function in column 2 of the attached schedule subject to the condition, limitations, and restrictions, etc. I have the file, the PDF file. I have it on my website today. Here they are talking about in 2016, a poison that they're going to administrate to the people under an emergency health condition. I'd say they've been plotting and planning.
You got it right, Stu. I've taken notice of that in the past. And I just want to thank you for inviting me and Joel to join you for these conversations, because the issue we're discussing are of the greatest importance for the American people.
Well, thank you, Jim, for being on with me. And I thank you, Joe. Either one of you have any last comment, Joel?
Well, that's it.
Okay. Thank you both for coming on. And ladies and gentlemen, have a good day. Thank you, guys.